Before we begin, let's pray. Our dear Father in heaven, we love your word, and I pray that you would increase our desire for your word. O Lord, incline our hearts to follow you, to follow your word. Open our eyes so that we can behold wonderful things in your law. Pray that we would hide your word in our hearts so that we may not sin against you. May we say with the psalmist, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation day and night. So, Lord, come and help us today. Help me as I speak. Help us together as we listen to your word. May we love it. May we listen to it. May we delight in it. May we obey it. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. As you see, there's no outline for today, but that line is very simple. There's three words: pray, delight, and follow. The sermon is all about how important God's word is for your life. So if you can remember those three words, pray, delight, and follow. So I thought I would have a short sermon on how important God's word is. So I thought it would probably be easiest to use the longest chapter in the Bible to do that. So Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is all about God's word. It's the longest psalm in the Bible, and it's the longest chapter in the Bible. It's an acrostic psalm. What does that mean? Well, an acrostic is a series of words or phrases whose first letters together spell something. Maybe you remember this from our prayer service, I think, last year. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. How do we pray to God? Acts. A-C-T-S. Acts. Or adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. That's an example of an English acrostic. If you were in my Sunday school class, we talked about the Baptist acrostic. Maybe some of you are familiar with that as well. Psalm 119 is an alphabetic acrostic, which means the first letter of each line, when put in order, will spell out the Hebrew alphabet. Psalm 119 is unique because it has 8 lines for each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. There are 22 sections for the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Each section has 8 verses, and each verse in a section begins with the same Hebrew letter. Most English translations put the name of the Hebrew letter above each section. So if you're in your Bible, you have Aleph and Beit, and Gimel, Dalet, so forth, the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. So there's 22 sections, 8 verses in each, which if you do your multiplication, that's 176 verses. That is a long chapter. Here, so this is the first section, the first 8 verses in Hebrew. And I've highlighted for you the first letter of each line so you can clearly see that's letter Aleph. And it's our kind of like our A, not identical, but there we have it. That's how it looks. And then the next section will have all Beits in it to begin each verse, okay? You can see each verse has 2 lines probably in your Bible, but each verse begins with the same letter of the Hebrew alphabet in each section. Now, you might ask, why? Why did they do this? Well, good question. Well, God wanted this psalm in the Bible. God wanted it here, so that's why it's there. You know, we don't need to ask any more questions. Well, an acrostic first can show completeness because it has every letter in the alphabet. So for this Psalm 119, the form in which it is written is part of the message. The form that we have in our Bibles is part of the message. The length and the completeness of this psalm prove to us that the topic is very important. In other words, when you see how big it is and how complete this psalm is, we just say God's word is very, very important. Some passages in the Bible are like rifles. They're short, they get to the point, they accomplish, you know, what God intended. This psalm is like a shotgun. It blows us away about how important God's word is. It's actually more like 22 shotguns, blowing us away about how important God's word is for our lives. Again, this psalm is all about God's word. There are a total of 10 words that are synonyms for God's word. They are law, word, promise, commandment, statutes, judgments, precepts, testimony, way, and path. 10 words for God's word. Out of the 176 verses, 5 verses do not mention God's word. So 172 verses talk about God's word. So the whole psalm, that's what the psalm's about. It's all about God's word, and it's really big to show how important the topic is. Now, if I were to read this psalm, that would be the rest of the message. unless we're going to be here for quite a while. That would be a good great use of the time, because God's word is powerful and important. But I rather prepare you to read the psalm this week. So that's what we're going to do for this message. I'm going to help you understand this psalm better so that you can go home and during the week maybe read a section a day, or you could read the whole thing in one read, in one sitting. It's a great passage of Scripture, and I think it wraps up our focus on God's word very well. So how am I going to show you what this psalm is about and explain it to you without reading the whole thing? Well, let's use Excel. You never know what's going to help you in your Bible study. When I was reading through the psalm, looking for main points, I realized that there were three topics repeated many times. So I looked through the whole psalm and marked down when one of the verses used one of those topics and used Excel to help me sort them and count them. So here is the results. Pray, delight, and follow. As I said before, and here they are. Now, every time one of the verses mentioned one of these things, I marked it down. Some of the verses mentioned two topics. So if you do your addition there, doesn't add to 176 verses, for those of you who are wondering. So pray. That is basically the focus of praise, that the psalmist is asking for God to help him, or the psalmist is asking God to help him understand God's word. So those two concepts are in pray together. So ask for and receive God's word. Delight. This is internalizing God's word. So delight, meditate, love, anything like that is under number two. And then follow. So basically obeying God, praising God. So externalizing God's word. God's in our hearts and we want love to obey them. You can see how many times these three topics are mentioned. And they kind of go in order. They're related. We'll see that later. There's only 12 verses that didn't mention these topics, which is quite incredible. So that's the main points of this psalm. Pray, delight, and follow. So let's go through Psalm 119 and pick out a couple of those verses that talk about these main topics. So, number one, pray. Pray for God to teach us His Word. Let's start at verse 17 of Psalm 119. So get your Bibles open and prepare to flip a couple pages because the psalm is pretty long. Psalm 119, verse 17. Do good to your servant, and I will live. I will obey your word. This is a prayer. And then 18, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. The psalmist is crying out to God for help. And then verses 14 to 16 talk about delighting in God's word. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. And then follow, verses 1 to 4. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. So you can see these are some very important topics. We need to pray for God to teach us His Word. The fact is, without God's help, we can't understand this book. We need Him to open our eyes and teach us so that we can understand the incredible truths in this Word. Actually, the word teach or learn is used 12 times about the psalmist crying out to God for help in understanding His Word, 12 times. The many prayers throughout the psalm show us our absolute dependence on God for everything. Let's go to 25 and 26. I just want to make sure this is from the text here. Verse 25, I am laid low in the dust. Preserve my life according to your word. I recounted my ways and you answered me. Teach me your decrees. Verses 33 and 34, teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees. Then I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Let's turn a few more pages over to 169. Verse 169. May my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. You can see throughout the psalmist's prayer is that God would give him understanding. And that's the first step when we come to God's word. We need to pray for help. Number two, meditate on and delight in God's word. Meditate on and delight in God's word. We see this idea of delight. It's love. Also, he talks about meditating on, considering, and thinking about God's word. Let's see, verse 11. Verse 11. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. I have hidden your word in my heart, so that I might not sin against you. And then we read verses 15 and 16. Let's turn over to 72. Verse 72. The law from your mouth is more precious to me than a thousand of pieces of silver and gold. And then let's turn over to verse 92. Verse 92. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. And then 97 says, oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. And then verse 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And hopefully you recognize some of these verses from the song that Don sang just previously. We need to set our focus on God's word and love it. God doesn't just teach us his word so that we can know information, but so that we can delight in it and we can set our focus on it. Our desire for God's word should be more than our desire for food and for riches, which if you look in the world, people love food and they love money. But our love for God's word should be much more than our love for those things. So pray, delight, and then three, follow. Follow God's word and praise him. So under follow, I have any time it talks about obeying or following or praising God. Let's look at verses 1 to 8. It's how the psalm starts out. I'm going to read the first section, the A section, if you will. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. Let's look at verse 30. I have chosen the way of truth. I have set my heart on your laws. And then verse 51. The arrogant mock me without restraint, but I do not turn from your law. So following God's law in the face of persecution and difficulty. And then I just want to read from the very end of the psalm, verse 171. Verse 171. May my lips overflow with praise, for you teach me your decrees. So this idea of following God is something from the heart, and it's something that results in praise to God. So pray, delight, and follow. So how are these 3 points connected? There we go. I made this diagram a while back when I was had a guy's Bible study. Maybe some of them will recognize it. This is how the psalm is structured. This psalm is pointing to this, that God teaches us his word. God teaches us his word, and we focus on it, and we meditate on it, and we delight in it. So I think that when we meditate on it more, we delight in it more. And when you delight on it more, it's easier to focus on it instead of things of the world, instead of sin. So that's why it's a circle there. So God teaches us, we meditate on his word, we delight in it, and we focus on it, and then we meditate on it more. And then we obey God and follow his path. So I think if you're going to overview the psalm, this is a good way to do it. God teaches us, we delight in his word, and therefore we follow in his paths. Prayer, asking God to help us understand his word, leads to delight. Let's look at verse 27. There's a couple of these verses that really make the connection for us. Verse 27. Let me understand the teaching of your precepts, then I will meditate on your wonders. So obviously we can't delight in it unless we understand it, so we need God to help us understand it. Then we can meditate on it and delight in it. And then let's turn over to verse 129. Verse 129. Prayer. Delight leads to following God. Delight leads to following God. Verse 129. Your statutes are wonderful, therefore I obey them. That's very important. Your statutes, your word is very wonderful, therefore I obey it. And then the last one here. Praying to God for help to understand His word leads to following Him. Verse 88 says this, "Preserve my life according to your love, and I will obey the statutes of your mouth." So we need God's intervention in our life so that we can obey His word. So these are connected together. It all starts with God, and then it results in us obeying God and following His path. Have you ever struggled to read God's word? You open it up in the morning or the evening, and like, why am I doing this? I don't really want to do this. I'd rather watch TV or do something. I'd rather not read God's word right now. I've had that struggle. You open God's word, I don't want to. This is a battle for our desires. Do we desire God's word, or do we desire our desires or the world's? This is a battle at the level of desires. God wants you to desire His word. He wants you to ask for help. And these are these key verses in verse 36 to 37. Verses 36 and 37 says this, "Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word." Very important verses here. Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. We need to pray to God that He would incline our hearts toward His word. Because without Him, our hearts are going to be straying from Him. So pray, God, incline my heart toward your word. So when you open your Bible and you don't want to read it, pray, God, incline my heart toward your word. We need His help. Pray that He would incline your heart toward His word, to love it above money, food, sex, and fame. Our responsibility to God, our responsibility is to pray for help because we are absolutely dependent on God. Our responsibility is to set our focus on God's word and not the things the world loves. Our responsibility is to obey God's word. However, God is with us every step of the way to form our desires by His word, to strengthen us for obedience by His word. We miss out on God's strength for life when we do not ask for help, when we don't set our focus on His word. So pray, delight, and follow. They're in order for a reason. Ask for help. Then delight on and meditate on God's word, and then follow Him. Pray that God would incline your heart toward His word. God is calling Christians. He's calling more you. God is calling for more than effort. God is calling for more than effort. He is calling for dependence on Him. God is calling for more than obedience. He is calling for delight. God is calling for more than your knowledge. He is calling for change of your heart. God wants your faith. This is for Christians. God wants your faith, and He wants your effort. He wants your obedience and your delight. He wants your head and your heart. I'm not sure which area you struggle with, whether it's joyless striving without trust, whether it's heartless obedience without delight, or fruitless knowledge without change. Let me read those again. Do you struggle with joyless striving without trust, heartless obedience without delight, or fruitless knowledge without change? I love information, and that's my struggle. I find something new, like I find that, and it talks about praying to God for help 67 times in Psalm 119, and I get excited. Well, that's great. Get excited about stuff you find in God's word. When it stops there, that's a problem. God wants Psalm 119 to change my heart. God wants Psalm 119 to change your heart as well. It doesn't start just with head knowledge. It needs to filter into our hearts and change our lives. Maybe you're a person who loves, I just love obeying the rules. There's some people that just love obeying the rules. And then we come to God and we say, just give me a list of rules and I'll be happy. God wants our hearts. He wants us to delight in Him and delight in obeying Him, not just obeying a list of rules. We need to obey God, but He wants it from a heart of joy. So it's important that we have this whole thing in order. Ask God for help. Delight in His Word. Then obey Him. Maybe you're struggling to delight in God's Word, or you're struggling to follow what it commands. What's the answer? You should know it by now. Run to God. Run to His Word. Maybe you're facing trials and suffering. Run to the Word of God. I thought it would be good to hear from some Christians who have gone before us about their love for God's Word. In 1850, a 16-year-old boy, this is a teenager, a 16-year-old boy wrote home to his parents about his recent salvation. "How sweet is prayer! I would always be engaged in it. How beautiful is the Bible! I never loved it so before. It seems to me as necessary spiritual food. I feel that I have not one particle of spiritual life in me, but what the Spirit placed there. I feel that I cannot live if God departs. I tremble in fear lest I should grieve Him." You might know him as Charles Spurgeon, a great Baptist preacher in England. At the age of 16, wrote that. That's amazing. How beautiful is the Bible? I hope that's the cry of our hearts when we see God's Word. How beautiful it is. I cannot dispense with prayer. You know, I have no life apart from God. John Bunyan, the author of Pilgrim's Progress, was put in prison from 1660 to 1672, 12 years. What was his crime? He wouldn't stop preaching God's Word. So he wasn't preaching according to the state church. He left a wife and four children to go to prison. He could have been with his family if he stopped preaching. But he says, "I must obey God." So he's put into prison for 12 years because he wouldn't stop preaching. He writes about his time in prison. And this is for you who are going through a hard time, through suffering and trials. This is a great quote. "I never had in all my life so great an inlet into the Word of God as now. The Scriptures that I saw nothing in before are made in this place to shine upon me. Jesus Christ also was never more real and apparent than now. Here I have seen Him and felt Him indeed." Let me read that for you again. I never had in all my life so great an inlet into the Word of God as now. The Scriptures that I saw nothing in before are made in this place to shine upon me. Jesus Christ also was never more real and apparent than now. Here I have seen and felt Him indeed. So his suffering drove him to love God's Word even more. So if you're going through suffering and trials right now, run to God's Word, and it's more dear than ever. Martin Luther, the father of the Reformation and the Lutheran Church, said this: "There are three rules for understanding Scripture, and I think you'll like the first two. Prayer and meditation. What was his third one? Suffering." Suffering. Prayer, meditation, and suffering. And you can see that in the quote above from John Bunyan. When we suffer for God, whether it be struggle against temptation, hard times in life, trials that God has given us, God's Word is so more dear to us. We can see things in it that we never saw before. So for those who are suffering and struggling in life, run to God's Word. It's a solace. It's very important for us. For those who are going through maybe an easier time in life but are not loving God's Word, we need to be running to God's Word as our delight. I'd like to end with a couple parables. One is modern, one is from Jesus. This is a modern one. "There once were two travelers on a long and difficult journey. They walked by foot over steep mountains and in deep valleys, through icy rivers and barren deserts, through dark forests and endless plains. Although they did not walk together, they had the same goal, to reach the great city. They walked the same long path toward the city that would offer them rest. However, their journeys were quite different. The first traveler struggled in his journey. Even when he was walking through the easier part of the trail, he forgot to stop and purchase food, so he would often get hungry and grow weary in his journey. He would forget to purchase fuel for his lantern, so he often stumbled through the dark forest. Sometimes he would get lost, but he would never stop to ask for directions." We never do that, do we? "When he got injured, he would not stop to see the doctor in the next town. We don't wonder why this traveler stumbled on toward the great city, sometimes in the dark, sometimes hungry and weak, and sometimes injured. The second traveler struggled on his journey. There were steep mountains and deep valleys, icy rivers and barren deserts to cross, but he had learned that he needed to be equipped for the journey. He stocked up on water before he crossed the desert and always had a supply of food. He asked direction when he was lost, sought a doctor when he was injured, and always had fuel for his lantern. This traveler journeyed toward the great city with strength and joy, even when the path was rough and the road was dark. I think you can understand where this parable is going. We are like the first traveler when we neglect God's word. We wonder why we stumble through life weary, lost, and hurting. God's word is our spiritual nourishment, our light for our path, our map for God's road, our medicine for spiritual sickness. God's word doesn't change the path God has for it, but it equips us for the road ahead, whether it be smooth or treacherous. We need God's word in our life. We need to pray for Him to open our eyes to see what's in His word. We need to set our focus on His word and pray that He would give us an increasing delight in His word. When we delight in God's word, we will have the strength to obey Him. I don't know how often you focus on God's word. And when I say focus on God's word, I mean this: read, listen, memorize, think on. I don't know how often you focus on God's word and pray, but I do know if you are a Christian, you are absolutely dependent on Him and His word. I'll let you and God work out the details. But I think if you read Psalm 119, it's hard to go away from Psalm 119 and say, God's word is not that important. In the second parable, as I promised, from the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, Jesus ends his sermon this way: "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Which house are you? And which traveler are you? We need God's word. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for your word, and I pray that we would love it and meditate on it. Give us understanding according to your word, and give us strength to obey it. And I pray we would go from here and do that. In Christ's name, amen.